Okay, we are recording. If you'll state your full name and title for the record for me, please.
I am State Representative Stacey Newman.
Well, Stacey, I wanted to visit with you a little bit about Amendment 5 that voters will vote on next week. I wanted to get your opinion. I know that you're on the opposition of this. Let's start by just defining for our listeners, if you will, please, in your words, exactly what Amendment 5 is.
Amendment 5 is a constitutional amendment. If passed, it would alter our state constitution, which has been rarely amended since, it went into effect. And it will basically remove the current right to bear arms provision and insert a new one.
Okay, and tell me why you're opposed. What part of this are you unhappy with the language, or what's your opposition?
Well, my opposition is basically that this will have intense unintended consequences that I'm not sure that the bill drafters, this came through the legislature. This was not an initiative petition, by voters. It was directly through the legislature. Put into the proposed, language that, voters will see on the ballot exactly the effect of this. And what it is, it will basically increase gun rights for criminals. We have prosecutors in both St. Louis and Kansas City that, including mayors of both St. Louis and Kansas City, that are extremely concerned. As you know, these are counties in the state that have intense, the largest populations of people. Therefore, we are, and I happen to live in St. Louis County myself. These also are areas where, gun crimes are more prevalent. And prosecutors are extremely worried that this amendment, Amendment 5, if ratified by the voters, will increase gun rights for criminals. They're extremely concerned that this will allow, through litigation, allow gang members and drug dealers to carry deadly weapons on our streets, allow domestic violence defenders to continue to possess deadly weapons, and also allow people who wish to do our children harm. This would also allow them to have the right to carry deadly weapons into our schools. We already have a, right to bear arms that's enshrined in our Constitution and, of course, our laws of our state. And what this does, through unintended consequences, it's actually would give criminals more rights than victims. And I'm concerned. I'm extremely concerned. This is not, I don't believe, the intention of the bill drafters, but our, top prosecutors in the state are extremely concerned.
Stacey, forgive me, I haven't actually read the full thing myself, but is there no language in the bill that states anything about criminals? Is there nothing in there at all, or do you feel like it's just not strong, doesn't go far enough?
Well, actually, the legislation is really, or the language that voters will be seeing on their ballot next Tuesday isn't clear. What it states is the right to keep and bear arms is an unalienable right. State government is obligated to uphold that right. That's the wording that people are going to see on the ballot. And, on face value, you're going to say, well, sure, we should have the right to keep and bear arms. Well, we already do. It's already in our state constitution as well as our U.S. Constitution. And what is missing from this language is, like I mentioned, the unintended consequences. The word there that was purposefully inserted is, quote, unalienable right. And even our conservative state auditor has pointed out through the process of, putting this on the ballot for, August the 5th, is that this will most likely have unmitigated costs through litigation. If this is going to, if passed, will increase the litigation costs through our prosecution, offices throughout the state. Like I said, you are a criminal. You're booked on a gun crime. This will imply that we must do strict scrutiny, which is a different type of looking at a gun statute. And any criminal then will be able to contest any gun law that we currently have on the books that the majority of people here in the state agree that we need, particularly in, like I said, areas of the state where, you know, gun crimes are prevalent. And so this will do nothing to actually protect a gun right that, you know, that we already have, that's already in our current Constitution.
You mentioned the fact, and we all know, that we do have the right to bear arms. So where did this bill come from? What has caused this to come about?
Well, actually, like I said, you know, there's two ways to put a constitutional amendment on the ballot. This one came directly from the legislature. This was an agenda. This is also an election year, as we all know. We had lots of candidates on the ballot, and this was, to me, this was purposely designed to draw a certain type of voter out. What I feel is unfair is that voters are not going to be aware of what they're actually voting on. The language is very poor. In fact, you know, there were several challenges to this language, to the ballot language. Supreme Court said there wasn't enough time for, you know, an adequate challenge to be placed. Again, we have a lot of conflicting statutes that came to that, you know, that drew the Supreme Court to that decision. But I think voters need to be very, very careful with this. You know, of course, most people will see right to bear arms and say, yes, we believe in the right to bear arms. But there's some key words in this, and that's the unalienable right. And I think the majority of us believe that, you know, criminals, you know, should not have, you know, more gun rights than victims.
I believe that you're correct. A lot of people will see right to bear arms, and they hold that right very close and near and dear to their hearts. So let's talk about what happens if it doesn't pass. What would change?
Actually, nothing. Nothing changes. I mean, if you will go and look at your current constitution, there is a right to bear arms. I mean, nothing will change. Our gun statutes that are on the books right now, that have, you know, many been in there for years, will not change. You know, procedures and, you know, via prosecutors will not change. We will still have the criminals. We'll still have, victims will be able to say, look, you know, my right should come first, my right to safety. If this passes, though, all of that is giant question mark. And, you know, we should also be concerned about some of these litigation costs. Like I said, the state auditor has, you know, mentioned in his review of this, of his legal review, that there could be and will most likely be, you know, great costs to the state. And, of course, our prosecutors are worried. They, you know, their job is to, you know, convict criminals and to get them off the streets. You know, their job is to keep us safe. And this greatly hinders it. In fact, the prosecutors, like I said, Jean Peters Baker from Jackson County in Kansas City, Jennifer Joyce, circuit attorney in St. Louis City, sent a letter to this effect to our legislators, you know, back in April, saying, this is very dangerous, what you're attempting to do. Are you sure you want to do this? Because I think when we're putting roadblocks in front of, you know, prosecutors and law enforcement, I don't believe the bill drafters, you know, had that intent. And so I believe that voters need to be very, very careful because, you know, any of us can be a victim of a crime, of a gun crime, any of us, regardless of where we live in the state. So that's why I'm advocating that, you know, voters vote no on Amendment 5.
Well, Stacey, we want to thank you for your time and for sharing the opposition side so we can educate our listeners from both points of view. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
Well, I think, you know, I would like to see voters, you know, come out. You know, I am the ranking Democrat on the House Elections Committee in, you know, the legislature. And, you know, we have very low turnout. You know, particularly there is, you know, in midterm elections, you know, people are, you know, it's not quite as sexy an election as, you know, as the presidential, when we're, you know, bombarded with commercials, you know, for 2 years. However, some of these amendments that were put on, particularly, you know, the August election, were done because of low turnout. You know, we, I think, as voters, as citizens, need to be very, very diligent, particularly when we're coming to, you know, altering our state constitution. You know, it's not easily unaltered. And some of these measures that are going to be on our ballot, particularly next week, are designed for very few voters to have an impact. And, you know, all of us need to be watching. We all need to be really using the power that we all have, and that's our vote. Our vote is much more important. You know, you're hiring and firing your electeds, and you're also making some crucial decisions on our state constitution, you know, that dates back to the 1840s.